The news around us every day in the current events of the world, isn't it? Think about China. Think about the Soviet Union and how they're referred to in the Bible. Yep, I've got to turn this on, Brian.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. I told you I talk loud. But we look at the current events and what's happening in the news every day. China, the Soviet Union, and did I mention this deal about Israel? Now stop and think about the great miracle that has occurred in our lifetime, of how God has established that nation like He said He would in His Word. And you are living to see that. So many generations before us longed for that, yearned to see God's promise fulfilled. And yet, here we're seeing it. What are we doing with it? Are we just shoving it off to the side and getting all consumed in our own current events? Or are we looking for what's going to take place? I don't know when that day is going to be. I don't know when that time is. Only our Heavenly Father knows that time. But I know one thing. Will you be ready if that day comes and we're still here on earth? Will you be ready? Are you talking to your husbands and your wives about that? Are you asking yourself that? Are you talking to your kids and your grandkids about that? And whether they want to hear it or not, if you love them, you ought to be talking to them about it, because we are this close. I think it's getting hot. And I think it's getting ripe. Look at the way people are handling themselves today. And look at just how cold it's getting. But yet those that are hungering for God, what are we doing? We're coming together, aren't we? You see, I don't need to preach to this group how important it is to not forsake the assembly, because you're here. But I do want you to get the importance of what happens when you're here. We're not just gathered here to sing songs to make us feel good. We're gathered here to learn about the Word, to encourage one another, to praise the Lord through the music, and walk out of here knowing that we know the truth and we know what to look for and we know what to test for as the current events of the world unfold around us. And they are happening fast. I dabble on the computer just enough to be dangerous. And I saw an article that came from MSNBC, I think, on the computer, and it talked about Israel's sleeping giant, referring to their military. Look what God is doing. Why do people want to wipe off the face of the earth a little piece of dirt that for almost 2,000 years didn't produce anything? And now, whether you like it or not, because of the blessing of the Lord, that country is practically self-sufficient from the blessings of the Lord. And what does the Word say? Those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. That's God's Word. Everything I bring to you, I'm going to bring from the Word. Now, you all can debate it with God all you want. But I stand on this faith, and maybe I'm simple, maybe I'm redneck, maybe I'm whatever you want to call me, but I believe what this book says. And I don't think that I'm being misled, because I got good people around me helping me to understand and interpret what's going on. And I'm using that, and I'm learning everything that I can. But what are you doing with what God has for us here as He brings us together in the power of His presence? The prayer time here tonight, I'm telling you what, miracles are just waiting to happen. But God wants you to come forward to receive them. God can give you a miracle anywhere, but He wants to know, do you want it? And as I shared last night in the service about my dad getting this close, and I shared this morning about the water and what the picture showed in your mission trip, Tony, to Haiti, that you can get close enough to that water to get splashed by it but not get a drink unless you get yourself under the stream and be filled by it. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to be under the stream of the Holy Spirit. And if God wants me to receive a pouring, I want the pouring. If He wants me to receive a rain that's easy like last night's rain, I want to receive it. If it's a mist, I want to receive it. And if it's just a simple dew coming down, I want it. I want what God has for me. Do you want it? I know that you're being challenged here. You're looking at a guy preaching to you in shorts. I know you're being challenged. I want to show you something about these shorts. You see that big knee right there? That's a big scar that God touched my knee way back in seventh grade and healed it. A bone tumor that was taken off. Never had an issue with that knee. This knee right here, that basketball court at Edgewood Church of God, it about destroyed me one day. I tore my ACL, and man, I'm telling you what, I was good. I was looking good. I slid this way to defend. These young guys couldn't take me on the court, and I slid, and I went down. And I wanted to cry, and I wanted to puke because it hurt so bad. It did. It hurt. And I tore my ACL, and I let it go for 4, 5, 6 years. Kept popping it back in. And finally in 2003, and by the way, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. But I want to share the glory of the God that I serve. In 2003, I went into the hospital and had that ACL taken care of. And when I came out, I laid there in the bed, and the doctor talked to me and he said, I've never seen a knee as bad as your knee. He says, you don't have a meniscus in it. It was torn to pieces. We couldn't save it. He said, I don't think you're ever going to run again. Wow. They sent me home and gave me Vicodin. And I didn't know what was going on or what was happening for a while until my wife finally said, unless you get off that Vicodin, we're moving out. I didn't even realize I was getting ornery or getting upset. It was doing things to me that I wasn't even aware of. But I want to share this with you. When I came home from the hospital, I knew what God was doing. My kids didn't hear that message from the doctor. We didn't share it with them. My son at that time, I think, was 8 or 9 years old. And when I came home, he had a picture this big and this big. And it was a stick man drawing. This is Dad. This is me. Dad, you will run again. I've been playing basketball. A few years back, I went on a health kick to keep up with Mr. Klingenpeel. You're looking good, Don. I lost 35 pounds running 4 miles a day. I ride a bicycle now. I can still play basketball in my mind, but my body doesn't look good with my mind. But I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, God has allowed me to be able to do what I'm doing by His healing power. I have no doubt about that. I was prayed for. I was anointed before I ever went in to have that surgery done. And I have no doubt in my mind that the faith activated created the healing that God gave me. It's still here today. It's still here today. And I want to give testimony and praise to God for that. And I thank God for the people who have been praying for me. I shared with somebody earlier today. They said, I'm getting up in age and I just don't know what my role is in the church. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I've experienced in my time in ministry in the church. There ain't nothing better than prayer warriors. If you're not doing anything else, you keep praying. Because I'm telling you what, when somebody's got a need in our church, I don't get the need half the time, so I'm not the one praying, but our prayer chain people, they take it serious. And I'm telling you, miracle after miracle after miracle is happening in our church, in our body, because of the prayer being offered up. And they may think, well, the pastor's doing the prayer, and in our church, and maybe in your church, you may think the pastor has to do all the praying. No! You have that ability to access the faith, to access the healing power, if you just believe and have faith the size of a mustard seed. Amen? But we need to be encouraged. We need to be activated. We need people to step out in faith. I thank the Lord for these people that came forward tonight to receive their miracle. You didn't come forward just to get prayed for. You came forward to receive your miracle, to receive your need. And I believe that God is going to deliver that need and His will is going to be done. I believe that. Because I know that there were godly people, full of faith, praying for these needs. Not only up front that we're doing the anointing, but also back here. I believe that. I believe that. Did I mention we're going to continue on in Daniel chapter 3? We're not going to talk about Daniel tonight, maybe just only but a little bit. I lead into Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But to get to this point in verse 8, I give you a little brief summary about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, they're taken captive. Their country is taken over. And King Nebuchadnezzar finds favor in these young people, and he sets them up around him. Most especially finds favor in Daniel. Why? Because Daniel was able to interpret a dream that had not been shared with anybody. And he told King Nebuchadnezzar what that dream was, and not only what it was, but what it meant. But before Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that, I want you to hear something that I believe is very important. Daniel heard from God. But before Daniel heard from God, he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "Look, guys, we're going to die. The king is putting out a decree that the wise men and all us guys, we're going to die if we can't tell what that dream means." And so Daniel went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "We've got to start praying." Daniel just didn't go to God by himself. He saw the importance of getting around other people that believed the same way that he did. And they went together in unity and one accord, and they cried out to the Lord. And that night, God gave Daniel the answer to what he needed to say to King Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all know that? I'm sure you've read that, heard that story. See, this just isn't a Bible story to me. This is reality. I've had dreams. I've had things happen to me in the nighttime that just shake me, cause me to wake up and just start praying for somebody or praying for myself. God said, final days, He'll pour out His Spirit on the men and the women. Do you believe that? I do. If the Word says it, I believe it. And that's what I'm going to stick to. So we see that Daniel has found favor in the eyes of the king. And Daniel did not forget about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did he? He knew that they also had an excellent spirit within them, the Holy Spirit. He knew that they had a love and a passion for God. How many of you have people around you that know that they can come to you for prayer? Are you that kind of a person? Do you set that kind of example to the people around you that they know that you are dedicated to the Lord, sold out to the Lord no matter what, and they know that you're going to stay true to the God that you serve? Do you have people around you? Do they see you that way? I hope they do. I hope they see me that way. Because I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to have an unfaltering faith that says, no matter what, no turning back. And we pick up here in Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and it says, "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews." Here they are. They're accusing these guys because they're making them look bad. Same as what Daniel had been going on and we talked about this morning. "They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever.'" Boy, they're just trying to butter this king up again, aren't they? Boy, we do the same thing to the pastors. Everybody knows I like raspberry pie, so they bring me raspberry pie, and when they're bringing it to me, "Hey, pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'd like to see this, or I'd like to see that." I said, "What's God say about it?" But by the way, thank you for the raspberry pie. You can see that they have the excellent spirit upon them. The people around them see that there's something special about them, and they're jealous and they don't like it. And they're trying to butter up the king. And in verse 10 it says, "You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image." Here they are, worshiping a false god. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" Now, here's where it gets interesting. Greg, you got any 16-year-old kids in here, any youth group? Anybody out here 16-year-old or in that range? Anybody? Come on up. Come on up, Eric. Come on. I want three young men up here to stand representing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come on. If you're even close to that age, don't be afraid. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. Come on, let's get involved. Give me one more. All right, let's give them a little word of encouragement, a little round of applause, people. All right. Who wants to be Shadrach? Okay, you're going to be Shadrach. Who wants to be Meshach? Okay, that makes you Abednego. You okay with that? All right, let's just say I'm King Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm coming before you right now, and I'm going to ask you, are you guys not kneeling down to me and my law that I've put out, and you're serving another god? What's the matter with you guys? Everybody else in the country is doing what I've commanded them to do. Why aren't you doing that? And tell me right now, are you doing that? Are you not being obedient? This is what I'm looking for. I don't think they're any different than the rest of us. They're probably smart enough to keep their mouth shut, aren't they? Now let's flip this around into current time events. How old are you? And you?
14.
Wow, you guys are hanging tight. That's good. So, 14, 14, and 13. I know that there were all kinds of parties going on when I was 12 and 13. Still are today, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to be on the in crowd and you want to be popular, the objective is to get to those parties, isn't it? But yet, the talk on the street is you guys go to church. And if you go to church, I'm not sure I want you to come to my party. So you're not going to bring that church stuff to the party, are you? There's the question. There's the question. And you see, what I want to do here tonight and every day of my life is be here to encourage these young men to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they will not falter. They will not cave in to the ways of the world to worry about being popular with the other people. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a dead-end street. Pastor Greg has probably already preached that to you. And if he hasn't, he will be. You know, he's cool. I could tell right from the beginning, and this is, I've not been around, Pastor, and I got the utmost respect for you, but you do have that California look. You do. And if you're from California, you're way ahead of the rest of us people in the Midwest. And so he's got discernment. I can see that, and he's got discernment. But do you want to serve the Lord? And you know, right here, I'm going to ask you a question that I used to ask people when I went into the church, thinking this was a safe question to ask anybody who was coming to church, and thinking I was going to be okay asking this safe question. Hey, do you love Jesus? You see, that can be hard to say for any of us right here in the body of Christ, let alone any of us being out into the job force, out into the world of the jobs, and we're working around all these people, or in the school, or even right in our own home where our parents may not be wanting us to go to church. And you know, I'm sure you're around a lot of young people like that. They want to know about Jesus. They don't have anybody telling them, do they? Amen? How often do you guys talk about Jesus?
Not very often.
Why is that? And why wouldn't that be if he has the answer to all the things that we need? Because you want proof, don't you? Amen. You're no different than me or anybody else. We're needing examples. Amen? Let's give them a hand, people. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming up. Praise the Lord. These three young men are no different than the rest of us. Show me. No different than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But yet God did show them. God spoke to them. He not only spoke to them, he delivered them. They knew that the answer had come to Daniel. And so they knew that if God was able to give the answer to Daniel when nobody else around King Nebuchadnezzar could come up with it, they knew God was going to take care of them. They knew right then that God was real, right? How many of us have had that life-changing experience in our life where we know without a shadow of a doubt, God is real, and I'm not turning back? Amen. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready at the time and you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Nebuchadnezzar's getting kind of arrogant here, isn't he? He knows that they're worshiping another god. You see, we're around all kinds of people that are worshiping money. They're worshiping status quo. I know so many parents out here that are still together, but they're not spending any time with their kids teaching them what's really important. Why? Because they are so busy going after the so-called American dream. A house, two cars, all kinds of luxury things to have fun. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been there and done that. I've not found it to be very rewarding. It's not brought that happiness or that contentment that I thought it was going to bring. I even see pastors and people in the church looking to better themselves. What can I do to gain financial stability? And yet, in reality, we've got to, all of us, activate our faith. Allow God to take care of us the way he wants to take care of us. But if you're like me, you find yourself thinking, well, I need to be over here doing this, and I need to be over here doing this, and if I can make a little extra money here and a little extra money here, well, that's all going to go somewhere. But man, I'll tell you, I don't know about the rest of you. At the end of the year, I don't know where the money went. So what good did it do? Other than make me more stressed out, more busy, less time for my wife and kids, and less time for the church that God has called me to take care of. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are up against the wall. King Nebuchadnezzar's got his finger pointing at him and saying, hey, get down here right now and kneel. Now, we got a little bit of that going on in our world right now, don't we? If you haven't been paying attention to this thing with the Muslims, and I'm not going to preach against the Muslims, all right? But I am going to talk about what their Quran says, which is their Bible. Do I got this right? Like I said, I'm just dangerous enough on a computer to Google up things on the computer. But these extremists are doing what their Bible tells them to do. If you don't follow their way, they're going to cut your head off. Now that's what they're doing. And you may think, well, that can't come into our world. We didn't think Pearl Harbor could happen. We didn't think 9/11 could happen. My goodness, we didn't think that we could be to the point we are right now with North Korea, that things could get hot and testy and World War III break out. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but God does. And that's why I know I can face tomorrow. I know that my God is going to deliver. I know that my God is going to take care of me. And you know, I walk around, as a young man, I walked around thinking, what am I going to do if I get drafted? What am I going to do if something happens in the world and it causes us to get drafted? And now I go around thinking, Lord, what do I do if my kids are drafted? You see, there's always something to worry about, isn't there? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as young men, along with Daniel, came to the point in their life where they said, not going to do any good to worry because God is in control. But why does it take us so long to get to that point in our life to accept that and recognize it? Because we're living for the flesh. We're living for the flesh. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. What about you? If it comes to a job promotion, or if it comes right down to how your kids are going to accept you by the way you choose to live, are you going to be bold and courageous and strong for God? Or are you going to sacrifice for the sake of putting something before God? I want you to get this. The enemy knows our weak spots. He knows if we love our kids more than Jesus. He knows if we love our spouse more than Jesus. He knows how to attack us in our weak areas. So many times I hear people say, if there's a God, why does he allow this to happen? If God is real, why would he allow this to happen? Well, my goodness, I think about Job. Look at the friends that Job had. After God allowed Satan to take away all the blessings that God had given him. Man, Daniel, he had good friends. Job had friends coming to him saying, Job, just give up that, confess that, take it to the Lord and this will go away. But Job didn't do anything. Same as Daniel, he was innocent, did no wrong, but found himself in a terrible hot spot, didn't he? Our worship leaders, a couple of them in church. We have a couple different worship leaders at our church. One couple in particular. Before they were in the church following God, they lost a daughter. They're not for sure if she's in heaven. They're sure hoping. And when I preach right from the Word, don't think for a minute I'm not conscientious of how this is hitting them. The same as I talked to that young man sitting along the lake the other morning. His biggest concern wasn't about how his relationship was going with his wife and this new child, and about where he was at with wondering, is the marriage going to work or is it not going to work? God laid it on my heart when it got right down to the nuts and bolts of it. He was concerned about where his brother's at. His brother who was killed in that head-on collision. You see, that's the reality that we're facing here today and every day. And it's the same reality that they faced here in this barn in 1910. It's the same reality that the world has faced since Jesus came and died on the cross for us. How we live our life, and some refer to it as the dash between the day we were born and the day we die, that decision to follow Jesus makes all the difference in the world. My grandma, she grew up, she served in the Church of God in Ithaca, dedicated. But that watered down attitude that came into some of my aunts, and they used to make the comment, well, I'll get to heaven on mom's shirt tail. I'll get to heaven on mom's skirt. She was so holy and she was so good, she's covered it for us. No, we each We each have to make that decision for Christ. Each of us. But we need faith-building experiences. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to remember these faith-building experiences. I shared with someone this morning, and I'm going to end on this. Something simple, but something important. We have a dog. And a year ago, our older kids came home at about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they found the dog laying in the yard, bleeding profusely out of its nose. It wasn't hit. We don't know what was going on. But the dog was just bleeding profusely. And these kids, my kids, they love this dog. I'm sleeping. They come and get Kim. And next thing I know, 2 o'clock in the morning, Kim and Emily Jo come into my bedroom or come into our bedroom, and they're just crying, "You've got to come out. You've got to do something with this dog. You've got to stop the suffering and the misery that this dog is in." So I got up, and I went out in the yard, and I looked at Charlie, and here Charlie was. Man, he looked up at me, and his ears perked up, and his tail wagged. He's bleeding bad. I said, "I'm not doing nothing with that dog. He's too healthy, and man, if he looks at me and acts that way, he's still good." So we let it go on, but we prayed. Right there we prayed. We prayed the next day. Our little girl, Kenzie, constantly reminding us to pray. Well, this dog continued to live. We took it to the vet. Man, old Doc Croswell over there in Ithaca, we poured a lot of money into his pocket to help him retire. But old Doc did everything he could for this dog, and he found nothing. He says, "I don't know what's going on. Maybe a tumor, could be something, but I can't find anything." He says, "We can send him down to Michigan State." I said, "No, thank you, Doc, because I know what Michigan State means. Cha-ching." And so we just let it be, and we continue to pray. You see, my son, who I'm very proud of, along with my daughter, both my daughters, they follow the Lord. And I know how hard it's been for them to follow the Lord. They went through high school. They went through college. They were around all the stuff that all your kids have been around and everybody else has been around. And they chose to stay away from it. They're choosing to live for Christ. And they're alienated. Because people don't want to accept them, the same as they have a hard time accepting us because we don't do or act the way they do things or act, right? So I was most concerned that if this dog died, what's that going to do to my son? I knew it was going to be devastating to hurt him. But in the midst of this, every day I took Kenzie to school, we pray. We pray out loud. And Kenzie prays with us. And in the back seat, "Dad, you got to pray for Connie. You got to pray for Bonnie. You got to pray for my teachers. And Dad, you got to pray for Charlie." Always. Always reminding to pray. I'm going to tell you right now, you come into our place today. You see the pastor up here? Look at this. Doctor said I couldn't do this. Doc Creswell said he didn't think that dog was going to live. Don't know what we can do. Can't do anything more for him. But I'm telling you, come into our yard today. We got a border collie. And we got an underground wire out there by the road. And that dog can only go so far up to that underground wire. He's going to get shocked. And then it's meant to keep him from getting out on the road, from getting hit. But if you come into our yard and get in your car to pull out, that dog is going to circle you like you're a herd of sheep. Flock of sheep? What's the correct term? I came from the farm, but I didn't raise sheep. But he's going to circle you, thinking he's keeping you together as a herd or a flock. And as soon as you get out the driveway so far, and I mean, he's flying, he's tearing around you, and he's kicking up stones, he's tearing up the grass. I mean, this dog is cutting hard. But as soon as he realizes he's getting close to that underground wire, he now begins to work the back end of you as a U. And he's biting at the bumpers like he's biting at the heels. And he knows when he comes up to that wire, "Oop, I got to stop now, but I did my job. I put him out the gate," or "put him through the gate." And that dog is healthy. How many more things do we need in our life to activate the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had? And we're going to study and talk more about them tomorrow morning in the conference. And we're going to continue to bring it into current day events about why it's so important that we come together in faith. We ran into, Don and Brenda, right? Did I get it right? Yes! Kim and I went into Charlevoix today, and we ran into them in one of the stores. What a joy to sit there and talk about Jesus right in the midst of one of the most busiest stores I think there was on Main Street, wasn't it? Boy, they had some good deals, too. But faith building. And they shared about how God had put people in their lives to help build their faith, to get them where they're at here today to be used by God. And they understand and they get the importance of how important it is to network and be around other people. You young men that came forward here, you need to make sure that you have established relationships with people that are going to keep you on track, keep you focused, so that you're not off doing things that you shouldn't be doing that everybody else is doing. And we're going to talk about some of those things in the next few days here, because we're going to flip from the Old Testament to the New Testament teachings. God has a plan for each of us. Each of us has a job to do. That is to fulfill the mission that God has placed upon our lives to live, to be a witness for Him, to go into all the world and live for Him. Will you do that? Do you want to do that? And I'm telling you here today, along with any day that we're here in this place, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling like you're running on E, come get refreshed. That's what the altar's for. Pastor Bill, you're the state overseer. What does the altar mean to you? Getting close to God, then. More closer than you are right there sitting in that spot, right?
The truth is, I believe He's everywhere.
Amen.
But that represents to me the place where I was saved. It represents the place I was married. It represents all those things that remind me that God is in this time.
Amen.
So though I believe He's as near to me right now as He is when I'm at that altar, the altar means something very special.
Because yes.
So many special things happen in my life.
Yes. Yes. Power is released when we recognize a special place between us and God. Draw close to Him and He'll draw close to you. He'll meet you any place. Amen? Would you please stand as we have a word of prayer? And Miss Ann, you're going to have a closing song. Father, we thank You and praise You. We exalt You. We glorify You. And again, Lord, we want to thank You for Your healing power that was in this place tonight. And Father, tonight we pray and ask that You bless each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that when our heads hit the pillow tonight, that, Lord, You will give us peace. And for some of us, Lord, may You give us visions and dreams. And Lord, I pray that when we wake up tomorrow, if that be Your will, You give us the strength, the courage, the boldness, the humbleness, and the humility to take every step with You, to serve You all day long. Father, bless Your people here today as they leave this place. And Lord, we thank You for the ice cream that's waiting for us. Lord, there are places around the world that there are people that haven't ever experienced something like that. And we're just going to walk out of this place and we're going to walk over there and we're going to be blessed with a great treat. Lord, forgive us when we take so many blessings that are so simple for granted. Help us to recognize who You are at all times. Just as Pastor Bill said, You're with us wherever we go. But we sure do thank You for the special anointings, the special times that You allow us to have with You that build our faith. To You be the praise and the glory and the honor as we leave this place tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Would you turn